supporting the minister. We're going to look at a much broader application this afternoon. So if you would please stand to your feet as we respect God's word in that way. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Pray with me. Beautiful Savior, Lord of all nations. Father, we bask in the privilege and the opportunity to open a word so powerful and try to understand how it applies to our lives. Please help us, God. Help us not to reap to the flesh, but to reap to the Spirit. Father, when we of the flesh reap corruption, let it simply be a reminder to us that this world is not our home. And there will come a day when we will be given a new body that will not see corruption. Help us, God, to be like Christ, to have His mind. We pray this in His name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can go ahead and be seated. His opening phrase here, "be not deceived," gives us the intimation that there is the possibility that we would be deceived. His warning to them, "be not deceived," he says that for a reason, and he says that for this reason. He expects that there will be false prophets who will creep in unawares, that there will be wolves in sheep's clothing that will whisper lies and deceit, and that there will be enemies of the cross who boldly proclaim lies and deceit as truth, and we are foolish if we expect to never be deceived. Our own heart is deceitful outside of Christ's work on it. Our lives are prone to believe that which pampers our flesh. And when things attack that flesh and they prick us, we're quick to be deceived and say, "well, this is what I've always heard. Well, this makes more sense to me." Paul writes and he says, "do not be deceived. You will hear these lies propagated. If it feels so right, it can't be wrong. This is no one else's business but your own. Everyone's doing it. Maybe God will grade on the curve or simply lose me in the crowd. No one will ever know. I'll just do it once and no one will get hurt." We hear these things and they sound so good to our flesh that if we were to allow that to be what saturates our mind, we would be deceived. We would make shipwreck of our faith if we weren't, as Pastor Michael was speaking of this morning, continually washing our minds with the truth. And this is the truth. You will reap what you sow. That's a truth. And that won't be changed regardless of the culture. How many times have you heard of someone who is caught in their sins, and this is what you thought? "Boy, they were foolish. If I had done that, I wouldn't have gotten caught." We're tempted to think that sometimes. You read these books of stupid criminals and things of this nature, people who leave their birth certificate behind at the bank after they rob it. And you think, why did he have his birth certificate in the first place? If I had been him, I wouldn't have reaped what I sowed. If I had been him, I wouldn't have gotten caught. I remember when I was younger and I lived on the farm, Robert and I spent a lot of time together, got in a lot of trouble together. And I remember one time, Nana was getting ready to head into town, buy groceries or something, and it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Robert was hungry. Surprise, surprise. And he wanted something to eat, and Nana said, just wait till I get home. I'll cook supper. You'll survive until then. And she left, and he went inside and made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and ate it. But he left the crumbs on the counter, and he left the butter knife in the sink with the peanut butter and jelly on it, and Nana got home, and she figured out pretty quick what had happened, and he got in trouble. And you know what I thought? If I had been him, I wouldn't have left behind that evidence. If I had been him, I wouldn't have reaped what I sowed. You see how quickly we are deceived by our own hearts. We think, oh, I could have done that and got away with it. Paul says, no, sir, you couldn't have. Don't be deceived. To consider that God is not true and you will not reap what you sow is to mock God. And God will not be mocked, Paul says. John Trapp wrote this. He said, they that would mock God mock themselves much more. Consider that for a moment. If you are mocking God, you're making a fool of yourself. And that's exactly what we do when we make one of those previous statements that I gave you that the world gives you so often. Just do what feels right. You have to be your own person. Just make those decisions for yourself. You can't let anyone else. All these lies and deceit that is poured on us, God is mocked when those statements are made. Because they're saying, you can sow to the flesh and not reap corruption. And that is a lie. Charles Spurgeon said, would you paint stones the color of wheat and expect wheat to grow? But that is, as foolish as that sounds, that is exactly what we do when we sow in sin and are deceived into thinking we will not be caught, we will not pay the consequences of it, we're an island, no one else will get hurt, we won't get hurt. You're doing something just as foolish as sowing, as painting stones the color of wheat and sowing them and expecting wheat to grow. We sow sin and we expect to reap blessings, and it's foolishness. It's mockery of the laws that God has laid down for how the world works. The point is not that men will not mock God. That's not the point that Paul's getting at when he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. He's not saying men won't ever mock God. But he's saying God will be vindicated in the end. Those who mock God with these false interpretations of how we reap what we sow, they will find out in the end that they reaped exactly what they sowed. And for all the fleshly sins that they sowed, they reaped that corruption, and they reaped blessings for the good things. So he says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, this isn't some abstract principle. Nature teaches us that what a man sows, well, that's what he reaps. I remember when I worked down at the feed and seed store down in Russellville. I sold a man, I don't know, a couple of pounds of honeydew melon seeds. And he planted like 5 acres of honeydew melon or something like that. And he came back and he said, I want you to know every one of those seeds came up. I said, well, good, I'm glad to hear that. He said the only problem was they all came up as cucumbers. Somebody had packaged the can wrong, and this guy grew 5 acres of cucumbers that he was planning to be honeydew melons. And you know what he had the audacity to tell me? I'd sold him the wrong seeds. How did he know that it wasn't honeydew melon seeds that just happened to grow cucumbers that year? You want to know how he knew? Because he made his living banking on the principle that what you sow, well, that's what you're going to get. He didn't have to have the scriptures to tell him that. Nature told him that. The scriptures tell us, you don't go to an olive tree to pick figs. What you put in the ground is what you expect to get back out of the ground. And we mock God when we willingly, purposefully, pre-planned sin and immediately ask God to keep us from enduring the consequences. That's a mockery. God said, you reap sin, expect. You sow sin, expect to reap sin. Expect to reap the consequences. Nature tells us that's how it works. And it doesn't take a rocket science. Providence tells us just the way that the world around us works. A man breaks God's law, a man breaks the law of the land, and sins of lust bring disease. And drunkenness brings death. Did you know that every 45 minutes, someone in the United States dies in an alcohol-related accident? Every 45 minutes, sin brings corruption on someone. Much more often than that, that's just the sin of drunkenness. But the world around us, providence, if you will, tells us you reap what you sow. Our consciences tell us that God will not be mocked and you will reap what you sow. Our consciences tell us that. You know, the world today, right now, around us, is screaming for BP's blood. For what they've done to the animals and the environment and the economy. And they've been made out to be the worst villains of all time. Big bad BP. Because the people's conscience tells them, you create a disaster, you ought to have to pay some sort of a consequence for it. We hear of O.J. Simpson or Dante Stallworth, these men who have gotten off through a legal loophole, and all the world recognizes there's blood on their hands, and we are insulted that there's a justice system where they can slip through the cracks like that, because we understand what that man sowed, he should have to reap. Our consciences tell us that. So then the same person who will be all upset that someone slipped through a legal loophole will then make the same statement, oh, I got this under control. Wait a second. Your own conscience is condemning the man who thought he wouldn't reap what he sowed. And yet you're working off that same principle. This isn't rocket science. Certainly the scripture tells us, but much above and beyond that even, we see it all around us in nature and providence and even in our own conscience. And then he brings us to verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Beloved, do not be deceived. This is speaking to the man who has made the images on his computer or his television his God, and he thinks because he does it in secret, and he thinks because no one has caught it yet, that he is okay, and no one will be hurt, and God will be mocked. But he is sowing to the flesh, and he will reap corruption. This is talking to the one who's told that lie for so long, you've just about convinced yourself that it's the truth. Because you've laid awake at night so often justifying why you told that lie, and it's bred another lie, and now you're wrapped in this tangle of lies, but you think that that lie will go to the grave with you and God will be mocked. It's just not so. It's talking to the one who's allowed that bitterness to grip their heart so tightly that now they don't know how they'd live their life if they weren't so bitter at that person. And they think they can't get rid of that bitterness. And it's just and deservable that they should have this bitterness towards someone. And God will be mocked and I can be bitter and no one will reap the consequences. This is talking to the young man who doesn't understand why he's submitted to authority his whole life, because all it's ever done is stifled him and his opportunities. And had he simply struck out on his own a little earlier, he'd be better off. Sir, do not be mocked. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Obeying the Scriptures, submitting to authority is proper and right, and you will reap the blessings of it one day. This is talking to the young lady who wonders why she ever bought into that idea of complete sexual purity, and all it's done is complicated relationships and stifled her. God is not mocked. You will reap a hundredfold if you do not faint. Talking to the fathers who have sacrificed careers that could pay them double or triple or quadruple what they make now, but they've sacrificed those in order to spend evenings and the Lord's Day with their family. And now, at times, they're tempted. Why did I ever do that? Sir, if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life everlasting. To the mothers who have sacrificed their personal aspirations to be the wife to their husband and the mother to their children and create an environment at home that is godly, do not faint in your well-doing. Because in due season, you will reap. You have gained for yourself and for your families, those of you who are sowing to the Spirit, rewards. And for those of you who are sowing to the flesh, I strongly warn you and I command you to repent and to begin sowing to the Spirit, because those fleshly activities will not only kill you, they will kill your family. And those that are closest to you, that you love the most. In verse 8, he reminds us of another lie, or verse 9, of another lie that Satan gives us. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know what one of Satan's favorite promises, Satan's favorite statements is? See, God didn't do what he said he'd do. We live in an environment and in a culture of instant gratification. And when something isn't done in our timeline, we think that God has dropped the ball. You see, I've been living right now for 5 years, and look where it's gotten me. Oh, you think God is mocked? You think God has dropped the ball? Look at this. I've been caught up in this sin for 7 years, and no one's ever figured out. Oh, so you think God will be mocked? Because He hasn't done it yet, you think you're okay. Paul says, don't be weary in well-doing. It's going to be in due season if we faint not. There's an endurance that is expected for the believer. The understanding is not that you start living right today and tomorrow all your troubles will be gone and you'll live happily ever after. He says, if you don't faint, there will come a season when you reap. You don't plant corn today and eat corn on the cob tomorrow. There's much time and work between it. You know, I don't know because the Scriptures don't tell us, but don't you wonder if Adam and Eve were just, we know they were deceived originally, but then once they were kicked out of the garden, I don't know how much of an understanding of what real death was that they had, but I wonder if they left the garden thinking, see, Satan was right, we didn't die. Satan said, you shall not surely die, and look, we haven't died. God said we'd die. God wasn't mocked. They died. In due season, they died. Their activities of the flesh ended in their reaping corruption. On a lighter note of illustration, I had the distinct pleasure of watching the Iron Bowl this past year with some of my favorite Auburn fans. And for 58 minutes, they hooped and hollered that their team was winning. And in the end, everything that was true and right and good in the world overcame, and Alabama won. Sorry, I couldn't resist that. No, but see, we have this idea. Well, right now, it's what happened. They scored the touchdown. We won the game. No, the game's not over yet. Oh, I've sinned and I haven't reaped corruption. I did it. I escaped. No, you didn't. The game's not over. Your life's not over. And even when your life is over, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And you may go 100 years and think you got off scot-free, and when you come to that day when every knee will bow and every tongue will profess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, God will not be mocked, it will be you who is being mocked for your foolishness and being deceived into thinking you could sin and not reap it. You won't. You won't. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 is such a familiar passage. We see it on plaques and everything else, and I wonder how often we stop to consider what is being said. The weight of it, as he promises to the children of Israel of what their future is going to be like, and the power of God. He's talking about the youth in verse 30, they're going to faint, and the young men will fall. Their strength isn't going to hold them up. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And we consider that as such an uplifting verse. See, God's just going to lift us up. Yes, if we wait. They that wait upon the Lord, they that lean upon the Lord, they that count Him as their strength. Yes. But we lose sight. We lose our depth perception. And we think that because we're living right today and God hasn't done what He's promised, that God will be mocked. Or we think that because we've sinned today and haven't yet reaped the punishment, that God will be mocked. Paul is very, very clear on this point. When you have done well, keep doing well. He says it this way in another place, and having done all to stand. He said, you've stood and you've stood and you've stood and you've battled the enemy, and the enemy has come again and again and again, and you've faced those temptations and you've pushed off those temptations, and the temptations have overtaken you and you've fallen, but like a righteous man you get back up again, and you've stood and you've stood and you've stood. And he said, and having done all to stand. I used to have a preacher whose favorite catchphrase was just keep on keeping on. Do right till the stars fall. We hear all these phrases. You know what they're all telling us? The Christian life demands endurance. and those who will stand in front of crowds of thousands and cater to their flesh and tell them they can have their best life now and God just wants you to be happy and wealthy and wise, they're not reading the scriptures that says don't be weary in well-doing. Because there's a season of reaping, and it's probably not tomorrow. And it's probably not next week. And it's probably not next year. Mothers, you may go 25 years of raising your children in godliness before you see the fruit of that. Young men, you may go 25 years in submitting before you see the fruit of that. There's a season of reaping, but the promise is sure. And if I were to leave you, and you haven't fully understood this idea that living righteously has an intrinsic reward, and living ungodly has an intrinsic reward, and that reward is corruption, is death, then you haven't heard what Paul is saying. But I also don't want to leave you without telling you that doing right won't save you. Yes, do right till the stars fall. Yes, keep on keeping on. But if you think it's simply your good morality and you think that you've sowed to the Spirit and so you're going to reap life everlasting, that's not what that verse is talking about. It's talking about enduring in Christ. And for you, it must be all about Christ. And your love and your passion for Christ and for His death, and for your continuing sanctification must be what drives you to do right, and not some understanding that simply if you do all the right things, you'll gain eternal life. Because that's not so. But if you have cast yourself upon Christ, I promise you there is a reward for those who do right, and there is judgment for those who sow wickedness. Let's pray. Father, I need to be reminded of this because I not only stumble, but I often fall. I often sin against You. I often offend my brother. I often am not diligent. And Father, I need Your forgiveness and I need Your reminder that it is for those who sow without weariness and do not faint, to whom the reward and the reaping comes in due season. Help us then, God, to be good stewards of the time and the resources that You've given to us. Help us to be quick to forgive, to be quick to hear, to be slow to speak. Help us in all things to be like Christ, that we may reap life everlasting. Pray that You'd be with these people this afternoon, God, that You would keep them. Father, that as they sang, Jesus and all in Him is mine, that they would consider that in their activities and in their speech. Help me to consider that. All for Your glory. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week. I will see you Wednesday evening.